I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. We visit with a diverse group of parents each week for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. And today, we're wishing a happy birthday to a television icon. Doesn't know that song. Since 1969, Sesame Street has brought laughter, joy, and comfort to millions of homes. Big Bird, Elmo, and many other Muppets and humans have made Sesame Street a place where kids can learn their letters and numbers and also about issues like healthy eating and what it's like to have a parent come home from war. Now Sesame Street is turning 40, and it's kicking off this milestone in a big way with a visit by First Lady Michelle Obama. But no matter who visits Sesame Street, its core mission remains to teach kids to learn and prepare for school. We wanted to talk to one of Sesame Street's human icons, Roscoe Orman. Roscoe has played the character of Gordon since 1973. And I'd also like to welcome Dr. Mita Sheth. She grew up as a fan of Sesame Street, and now her children are fans of Sesame Street, and our regular Tell Me More parenting contributor, Jolene Ivy. She's the co-founder, one of the co-founders of the parenting support group, the Mocha Moms, and she's the mom of five, who no doubt enjoyed Sesame Street at some point along the way. Welcome to you all. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
So, Roscoe, what kept you on Sesame Street for 37 years? And I really want to know, how did you get that job to begin with? What a cool job.
Well, Michelle, I tell you, this has been a journey that no one could have planned. In my wildest dreams, I never imagined. First of all, I hadn't really done any children's shows or performances for kids up until I was asked to join the cast. I had been doing mostly theater and some film work in L.A. And a friend of mine came to see me in a play in New York, off-Broadway, and mentioned that they were looking for an actor to replace the character Gordon. Actually, the actor I was replacing was the second Gordon. The show was in its fifth year, and Matt Robinson had played the part for the first few years, and then another actor came in and didn't quite work out, so they were looking for another Gordon. And it turned out that I was also expecting my first child, my wife and I, and when I was offered the role, it was such a welcome opportunity, first of all, to have a job for more than a few months. I was hoping it might last a year or two. Which would have been
a year or two
for an actor. That's a long time.
I can imagine. Jolene, how did you start noticing Sesame Street? I know with your five. I know you're not a huge fan of television per se, but who doesn't love Sesame Street?
You know, my kids. I tried to be the really good mother and never let my kids watch television, but that's not realistic. And sometimes you just need them to sit down, be quiet, and watch television. And for those times, a show like Sesame Street is really ideal.
What is it that your kids enjoyed about it? Do you remember with five boys, you have all kinds of personalities there? What is it that they liked?
Well, I think the songs were really cool. The Rubber Ducky song was one that my first child particularly loved. In fact, I used to sing it to him at night and change the words when I was giving him his bath, so to make it Alex Ivy instead of Rubber Ducky. So it really was a part of our lives when we had small children.
Mita, what about you? When did you start watching Sesame Street?
I started when my 5.5-year-old was 2. I said, well, when he's 2, I'm going to allow him to watch a little bit TV. And I said, what better show than Sesame Street? And it comes on in Atlanta at 9 a.m., and I would put him down to watch it. And in the beginning, he watched 10 minutes. And then over the weeks and the years, he sits down and watches the whole show, and he just absolutely loves it. And so does my 2-year-old. And what's nice is they can both sit down and watch it together.
One of the things I think people have always noticed about the program is the diversity of the characters. I mean, Roscoe, I'm sure this is something that's very real to you. When you first started on the program, there were not a huge number of people of color on television.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
The show has always been diverse. Why is that?
Well, that was one of the primary components when Joan Cooney began this project, that she wanted to reflect the true diversity of this country, of America, and particularly to have the show set in an inner city area of New York City, and to show the multicultural aspect of New York City, and to have that broadcast. I've traveled all over the country and other parts of the world where there aren't people as diverse as there are in this city, but who, by watching Sesame Street, have been exposed to, you know, people of all colors and cultures and you know, nationalities and backgrounds. And we are their frame of reference for that.
Mita, I'm sure you've noticed that there's now a character of Indian descent on
yes.
the program.
Yes.
And I just wonder, does that make it easier and more fun to have, you know, a character who is of the same ethnic background?
Well, I'll tell you, when we first saw her come on, Ishan said, "Oh, wow, there's an Indian lady, Mom." And I believe she has a nose ring, which he signified Indian
yes.
being with. And then the next day, they had Alicia Keys on. So he was over the moon. He got to see an Indian woman on Sesame Street, and he got to see Alicia Keys singing the alphabet song. And
yeah.
it goes back to the point of seeing that diversity and ethnicity that allows a child to identify doing something educational like ABC with someone who kind of looks like their mom.
And you know, I bet you, Dr. Seth, as a doctor, you also appreciate a lot of the health messages that have always been a part of Sesame Street content. I just want to play a short clip. Here it is.
It's time to practice staying healthy on Sesame Street.
Yes, and the first thing you have to do to stay healthy is always wash your hands.
Come on, wash your hands with Elmo. Wash, wash, wash.
Next, try to avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth.
So, of course, that was Gordon. Mm-hmm. Here you are teaching mm-hmm. Elmo flu prevention techniques.
Flu prevention.
Now, you know, we have to get the inside scoop, Roscoe. We have to ask, is there mm-hmm. any tension between you and Elmo over who's getting more screen time?
Oh, no. There's no way that any of us, human adults especially, can compete with Elmo. We don't even try. The best we can do is just try to be in the same space, in the same spirit.
Mita, do the health messages on Sesame Street help you? Do you think that they are helpful for parents, helpful for kids, or helpful for doctors trying to kind of reinforce a certain message?
Absolutely, absolutely. Before, I'm a general dentist, and before I had my son come to me to have his teeth cleaned, I had him watch the episode of Sesame Street where Elmo goes to the dentist, where Elmo has his toothbrush and has his teeth cleaned, and it really helps through behavior modification and tell show technique to have the child become very comfortable with whatever's going to happen in their doctor or dentist office.
Jolene, what about you? Were there any episodes that stood out for you that were helpful to you?
Well, there was a little boy who used to be on. His name was John John. He was adorable. I mean, he's the
yes.
cutest thing you've ever seen. And he helped learn words like, you know, what's the difference between loud and quiet and happy and sad. And there was one show, I think it was actually a little girl on it, where instead of a simple explanation like that, the complex term was, what is love? And wow, to have Sesame Street take on what is love, I mean, Shakespeare's mm-hmm. taken that one on, you know what I mean? But who
True.
Could do better?
True.
John John, little John John Williams, at the age of 5, was responsible, really, for me getting the job of Gordon.
How come?
Wow.
Because he was a part of my audition for the show after I had done a scene with Oscar the Grouch in the trash can. And now, you have to understand, I'd never worked with puppets before. So just the idea of talking to and acting as if this green grungy rag coming out of a trash can was a real person was something I didn't think even possible, and I really felt that I had blown the audition. The second part of the test was for me to do a scene, an improvisational scene with John John. And I had so much fun with this kid, who by then was a veteran. He was 5 years old, had been on the show for probably 2 or 3 years. And he and I just had the greatest time just improvising about the concept of up and down. And I have no doubt to this day that it was because of that ability to interact with this wonderful kid in such a natural and fun way, and to actually teach something through it was what landed me the role of Gordon.
Let me ask each of you for a final thought about what either your favorite Sesame Street episode was or what you'd like Sesame Street to do next. So, Mina, I'm going to ask you, is there anything, any ground that Sesame Street has not plowed that you would love to see them take on before your children get too old to watch?
You know what? I don't think that they haven't taken on anything yet.
They've got it covered, huh?
I think they just have it covered. And I actually pulled out one of my Elmo videos from my two-year-old that I used for my five-and-a-half-year-old, the potty training video, because we're going to start potty training, and I'm having him watch that. So I actually have a bunch of videos that I use as a reference, and I'm just happy to go back and be able to reference what has worked for me before. I pulled it out this weekend, and I'm hoping that he'll be able to sit down and watch one. That's how I potty train my 5-and-a-half-year-old, so I hope it works for the 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can call
that
Gordon.
That was a wonderful video to
work.
Produce, as a matter of fact. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. That is a great resource for potty training.
Jolene, what about you? Any favorite episode you want to mention, or is there something you'd love for Sesame Street to take on?
It's hard to say what that would be because Sesame Street is such a product of the times. So back when it started, the big thing was teaching tolerance, which was very important then. Still important now. It's not like it's outdated, but it was more needed then. And, you know, it's kind of funny, too, because back then they had characters who were like smoke. You know, as part of the character, and they'd never do that now. And
never.
I think Gordon, wasn't it you, took a little girl by the hand, went inside for cookies or something? That's something that you never do today. So the things that the really old shows, they're packaged now with labels that say intended for adults, not for children anymore, because we know what we need to do today and what we need to teach children. So it's hard to say what I would like them to teach in the future because we don't know where we're going to be in the future.
Yeah. One of the themes from the early years of the show that we had to adjust because of the times that we were in at that particular moment was the notion of Snuffleupagus being a character that only Big Bird could see. And every time that one of the adults would be around, Snuffy would either just kind of disappear or walk away or vice versa. When he came in, one of us, whoever was there with Big Bird, had left. So we never believed that Big Bird, we thought it was just an imaginary friend of his. And then the producers realized that we were kind of setting the example of grown-ups not believing in children. So, and we thought that that was the wrong message, and that was adjusted so that in one episode, all of a sudden, all of the grown-ups could see Snuffy in that one episode.
Wow.
I kind of missed the fun we had with that kind of hide-and-seek. But it was kind of an important move for the show to kind of adjust to that need.
Well, that's great. That's really interesting. That's interesting. Well, we've done so many things. Hard to even as Mita was pointing out, there are just so many things that you've already done and taken on. I mean, teaching kids about how kids who use wheelchairs and how to relate to parents, a program that you did recently and a DVD series for members of the services on how to welcome parents back home who may have suffered a visible injury or an invisible injury. And so many things that Sesame Street's taken on over the years. So, Gordon, what is left to do? What is there next for the next 40?
Well, there are two other examples I'd like to mention. One was the was a show that won an Emmy Award on its own as an episode when we talked about the death of Mr. Hooper many, many years ago. The actor who played Mr. Hooper, Will Lee, had passed away between seasons, and the producers bravely took on the challenge of talking about the death of Mr. Hooper among the cast members and Big Bird and the other characters. And it was a very, very well-written show that approached the subject. It was aired on Thanksgiving that year so that families could watch it together and it would be a sense of reinforcement of, you know, the delicate topic of death in the family. So that was really, I think, one of the high points of Sesame Street's bravery and courage in that regard. Another similar kind of experiment or attempt didn't quite work out and dealt with the divorce of Snuffleupagus's parents. Mm. And so we taped one episode and tested it among children, particularly among children who were in homes affected by divorce, and it was still very upsetting for them, and we decided not to air that episode.
Wow.
or to pursue it. It was just a little more than the kids.
So they've never done it? They've never done an episode about divorce?
We've never gone back to that.
Wow, subject. That's interesting. So what else would you like to do?
Well, I mean, as the others said, there are so many things that we have done. It's hard to even think of other issues, that we haven't at least attempted to cover. Of course, we've done falling in love and getting married and even giving birth when Maria gave birth to her daughter Gabby many years ago. So many just incredible. The show is a family in many ways, and the children of some of the characters, which in the case of Maria's Gabby, it was actually her own daughter for the first few years who played the role of herself, just as my son Miles played himself until he got to a point where it didn't seem like he was having fun anymore, you know, having to go to work with Dad, you know, so often. So we replaced him with a professional actor. And now at the age of 25, he asked me, why did you ever take me off the show?
You know, so, you can't win.
You can't win.
Roscoe Orman plays Gordon on Sesame Street, a role he has had since 1973. He was kind enough to join us from New York. Dr. Mita Sheff is a dentist and a mom of two and a fan of Sesame Street. She joined us from Atlanta, and regular Tell Me More parenting contributor Jolene Ivey. She's a Maryland state delegate and the mother of five. Joined us from our Washington, D.C. studios. Thank you all so much for joining us, and congratulations to you, Roscoe, also known as
Thank
Gordon.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
Happy birthday, Sesame Street.
Sunny day, sleeping up.
That's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.